This week, pharmaceutical giant GSK and Microsoft both announced they are rolling out new encryption standards. It's not a routine security update. It's a race against a new kind of threat, a future quantum computer that could break nearly all of our current digital security. The data being stolen today could be decrypted tomorrow. The question is, are Western companies prepared for the moment all our secrets become public? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on technology and its impact on U.S. and European industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, the quantum computing sector is white hot. We're seeing massive government investment, major corporate roadmaps, and a frantic push to secure our data before it's too late. It's a story unfolding on three fronts: the defensive war to protect our data, the global race to build the machines, and the first hints of their real-world applications.
Exactly, Susie. We'll start with the urgent defensive front, post-quantum cryptography. The transition is no longer theoretical. It's happening now. Then we'll follow the money, billions of dollars in new public and private funding that are shaping the competitive landscape. Finally, we'll look at the technical progress towards truly useful, error-corrected quantum computers.
Let's start with that defensive war, Troy. We saw a flurry of announcements about something called post-quantum cryptography, or PQC. What is this, and why the sudden urgency from companies like GSK and Microsoft?
PQC is the development of new cryptographic algorithms that are secure against attacks from both classical and quantum computers. The urgency comes from a threat model called Harvest Now, Decrypt Later. Adversaries are capturing and storing encrypted data today, betting that in a few years, a quantum computer will be able to break the encryption and read it.
So data we think is safe today is actually just a ticking time bomb.
Precisely. This week, we saw the key players moving. On May 28th, the U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, advanced 9 new digital signature algorithms to a third evaluation round. On June 2nd, Microsoft announced Windows will now support hybrid PQC algorithms like MLDSA. And on June 5th, GSK detailed its own proactive PQC adoption to protect everything from clinical trial data to its supply chain. Even Let's Encrypt, which secures a huge portion of the web, is adopting new Merkle tree certificates to handle the larger signature sizes of PQC.
How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers? Many of them have products with 10, 20, or even 30-year life cycles.
That's the critical point. For manufacturers of industrial IoT, medical devices, or automotive components, the cryptography baked into those products today must be quantum resistant for their entire lifespan. A failure to upgrade means facing massive security liabilities and potential recalls down the line. European manufacturers must also consider GDPR compliance, which will certainly evolve to mandate quantum-safe data protection.
And for trading companies and distributors who manage complex supply chains?
Their risk is in the data in transit. Purchase orders, shipping manifests, and financial transactions are all encrypted. A breach could expose pricing strategies, supplier relationships, and confidential customer data. They need to ensure their communication platforms, from APIs to enterprise PKI systems like Microsoft's Active Directory certificate services, are migrating to these new PQC standards.
So, what's the actionable insight for an executive listening right now?
The first step is to conduct a cryptographic inventory. You must know what encryption algorithms are being used in your products, software, and communication channels. The second is to prioritize developing crypto agility, the ability for your systems to be updated with new cryptographic standards seamlessly. Waiting for Q-Day is too late. The harvest is happening now.
Let's follow the money, Troy. The scale of investment in quantum this week is staggering. It feels less like R&D funding and more like a geopolitical arms race.
That's an accurate assessment. On June 3rd, the U.S. Commerce Department announced its intent to provide approximately $2.1 billion in CHIPS Act incentives to 9 quantum companies, with D-Wave and Quantinuum as key beneficiaries. That same week, IBM committed to investing over $10 billion in quantum by 2029. And to top it off, Quantinuum, which is backed by Honeywell, raised $1.68 billion in its U.S. IPO, with shares priced at $60.
These are astronomical numbers. How does this fire hose of U.S. funding compare to what's happening in Europe and Asia?
It creates a significant gap. We saw France's Quobly raise an impressive 115 million euros, and Germany's Qdora is expanding into Japan. But compare that to the U.S. figures.
A Japanese report from June 2nd noted that its largest quantum startup, OptQC, raised just 1.5 billion yen, about $10 million. The article explicitly raised concerns of an Elpida-style failure risk, where superior Japanese technology could fail due to a lack of capital, just as its memory chip industry did.
So, for a U.S. or European manufacturer, what's the strategic implication of this funding disparity?
For U.S. manufacturers, it's an opportunity. This domestic investment surge means access to world-leading quantum hardware is likely to be centered in the U.S. They should be seeking partnerships with these well-funded players like Quantinuum, IBM, and D-Wave to run pilot projects on material science or optimization problems. European manufacturers face a competitive threat. They must actively partner with their own regional champions like Quabli or Quanorth in Denmark to avoid falling behind. We're already seeing this with Mitsubishi Electric partnering with U.S.-based Quantinuum on industrial applications.
And what should trading companies and distributors be watching?
They should be tracking the hardware leaders as potential service providers or partners. As quantum is applied to financial modeling and logistics optimization, the companies with the most powerful, accessible hardware will be the winners. The Quantinuum IPO, trading under Honeywell's ticker, signals that these companies are maturing rapidly. Sourcing decisions and partnerships should factor in a company's quantum roadmap and national backing.
What's the immediate action item here?
Executives need to assign a team to scout the quantum landscape. Don't wait for a sales call. Proactively identify which quantum hardware companies, whether U.S. or European, are focused on your industry's problems and initiate discovery conversations. The goal is to build relationships and understanding before your competitors do.
All this investment is aimed at a single goal, building a truly useful, fault-tolerant quantum computer. We saw a lot of news on the deep engineering challenges here, especially around something called quantum error correction. Troy, can you demystify that for us?
Of course. Today's quantum computers are noisy. Their quantum bits, or qubits, are fragile and prone to errors. Quantum error correction, or QEC, is a set of techniques to detect and correct these errors, creating a stable logical qubit from many noisy physical ones. A computer powerful enough to solve major commercial problems will require thousands of these logical qubits.
And it seems we're moving from theory to practice on this front.
Exactly. A May 29th report highlighted successful QEC hardware demonstrations by Google's Willow chip, Quantinuum, and others. Then on June 2nd, Atom Computing published research showing they sustained logical information for 90 cycles of error correction on their Neutral Atom platform. This is the grueling engineering work required for fault tolerance.
How do these milestones connect to the corporate roadmaps from companies like IBM and D-Wave?
They are the foundation. On June 1st, D-Wave, known for its annealers, unveiled a new roadmap for a gate model computer targeting 100 logical qubits by 2032. Similarly, IBM's $10 billion investment is aimed squarely at building its IBM Quantum Starling, a fault-tolerant machine, by 2029. They believe they can show a practical quantum advantage as early as 2026.
What does this mean for a European manufacturer working in, say, material science? When can they expect to use these machines?
The progress in QEC and the 2029-2022 roadmaps provide the most realistic timeline for tackling complex molecular simulation. It means that within the next 5-8 years, they may be able to design new alloys, catalysts, or battery materials on a quantum computer that are impossible to simulate today. This is a direct threat to any company whose competitive advantage is based on proprietary materials.
And for a U.S. trading firm looking at portfolio optimization?
The timeline is similar. The ability to run deeper, more complex financial models depends entirely on having stable logical qubits. These demonstrations show that the hardware is advancing toward a point where it could outperform classical methods in risk analysis and optimization. They should be aware that the state of the art in quantitative finance could change dramatically before the end of the decade.
So, the key takeaway for executives.
Stop focusing on the headline number of physical qubits. The critical metric to track is progress in logical qubits and low logical error rates after multiple cycles of error correction. That is the true indicator of commercial readiness and the countdown to disruption in your industry.
Finally, Troy, let's talk about the intersection of quantum and AI, often called quantum machine learning, or QML. There's a lot of hype here. What's actually real?
A May 29th analysis put it perfectly with an honest scorecard. It concluded that while the science of QML is real, a practical advantage over classical machine learning has not been proven for most problems. It drew a critical distinction between QML, using quantum computers to learn from data, and what it called quantum AI, which is using classical AI to improve quantum computers. That second part is already providing real value in designing chips and improving error correction.
But we are seeing some promising early results in specific fields, right?
Yes. An article from June 4th highlighted promising applications in pharmaceuticals and finance. QML seems particularly well-suited for processing the ultra-high-dimensional data found in molecular simulation for drug discovery or in complex market risk assessment. A separate archive paper surveyed quantum neural networks and projected enhanced accuracy in exactly these two fields.
So how should a company think about this? Is QML something a chemical manufacturer should be experimenting with?
The Honest Scorecard analysis offered a crucial insight. The first real defensible quantum learning advantages will likely come from learning on truly quantum data. For a chemical manufacturer, this could mean using a quantum computer to simulate a molecule, generating quantum data that another QML algorithm then analyzes. This is very different from just feeding classical sales data into a quantum algorithm, which has so far shown little to no advantage.
What does that mean for a trading company?
For trading companies, the data is classical market data. The potential advantage isn't from the data's nature, but from the quantum computer's ability to navigate an exponentially larger space of possible correlations between variables. However, they need to be realistic. The hardware is not yet mature enough to demonstrate a real-world advantage here over sophisticated classical algorithms. The early wins will be in industries with native quantum problems.
What is the actionable insight for executives exploring QML?
Be targeted. If your core business involves quantum mechanical problems, like drug discovery, battery chemistry, or materials design, you should be actively investigating QML. If you are looking to simply accelerate existing classical machine learning tasks, maintain a healthy skepticism. Focus pilot projects on problems where the data itself is quantum in nature. That is where the first true breakthroughs are expected.
All right, Troy, let's bring it all together. What are the key takeaways from this incredibly busy week in quantum?
First, the post-quantum cryptography transition is an immediate priority. The harvest now, decrypt later threat is real. U.S. and European companies, especially those with long lifecycle products or sensitive supply chain data, must begin a full inventory of their cryptographic systems now. Crypto agility is the new imperative.
Second, the money.
Second, the quantum hardware race is consolidating around a handful of massively funded players, primarily in the United States. The multi-billion dollar investments from the CHIPS Act and IBM, plus Quantinuum's successful IPO, create a huge gravity well. For U.S. and EU firms, this is a clear signal to identify and engage with these leaders to explore early-stage partnerships.
And finally, the technology itself.
Third, look past the hype of physical qubit counts. The real measure of progress toward commercially useful quantum computing is the demonstration of quantum error correction and the creation of stable, logical qubits. The roadmaps from IBM and D-Wave, targeting fault-tolerance systems by 2029-2032, are the timelines that executives should be using for their strategic planning.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. The pace of change is accelerating, and we'll be here to track the signals that matter most to your business. Thank you for joining Troy Technical Intelligence.
Thank you.
Follow us on your podcast platform of choice to make sure you never miss an update. We'll be back next week with more analysis of the technology developments shaping global industry.